The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Before we start the show, here at The Thing Is, we want you and all of our listeners to have amazing sex, which is why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray. It's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off and sensitivity levels down so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. There's no prescriptions, no mess, no pesky subscriptions required, just better sex guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy. I mean, that's freaking awesome. As you listen to the show, you all know, Maddie doesn't have a whole lot of sex. I don't have a whole lot of sex, both for very different reasons. But it's important to both of us that our guests and our listeners live a very different life than we live. See what the buzz is about for yourself and grab a bottle along with all your sexual wellness products, from specially formulated arousal gels to supplements and so much more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. So go to promescent.com. There's no promo code needed, and they offer free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So you're not losing out on anything. You can only gain by trying Promescent products, especially Promescent Delay Spray. Once more, go to promescent.com. That's promescent.com. And they've got an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. So give it a try and let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
This is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. Thanks for coming back to join us. I'm here as always with my lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hello, Shannon. You are looking, as they say across the pond, brilliant this evening.
That's good. You just came up with that one. It wasn't prepared.
Nah, the glasses kicked it in.
Okay. Yeah. And today's guest, and it's shocking that it's taken us so long to have this guest on the show. He's part of the Gas Digital family. He is one half of the Part of the Problem podcast. He's the host of the Run Your Mouth podcast and comedian. It is Robbie Bernstein, Robbie the Fire Bernstein, if you will. Welcome.
Thank you. Has any guest purposely seen how many times they could say the thing is to get a bing?
You know, a lot of guests, it takes them a while to figure out why the dings are happening. Yeah. So yeah, it's happened sometimes towards the end of the show. Someone will start doing it a lot, but you may be the first one.
Because the thing is, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, records are made to be made. You know what I mean?
I'm going to come in big, but I'm going to make sure that it makes sense each time I use it. I'm not just going to say the thing is. Like, if I actually have a usage about the thing is, it's going to be appropriate and make sense.
Wow, we're going to have fun today.
No, don't you dare. Don't do it, Maddie. Don't do it.
I'll tell you what, if you say it enough times in a row, I could use a thing-a-ling bell.
Shannon, are you changing the thing is rules?
No.
It feels to me like you're changing the rules. I thought you say the thing is someone's got to ring the bell, and now you're trying to bell. Say, oh, okay.
The problem is, Robert, I have a bell too, and Shannon hates when I ding it.
And because it's so obnoxious, it's actually making me angry already at the beginning of the show. Oh, isn't that funny? We're recording, Kevin, and your camera is on.
$20 you owe me.
He's the official fan nose picker. I think everyone, you can put that out for everyone to see it.
It's funny because we were talking about him before we started recording, that he was the first one to request an invite to the show today. And it was just a whole thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay. So before we get into the segments with you, Robbie, we normally do a little catching up before we start. So I do currently have COVID. I tested positive on Monday, Sunday actually, but I didn't get the results until Monday because, the tests are supposed to take 15 minutes, took 24 hours. Mm. And so
my dick turned blue. What's your worst symptom?
I think my worst, it sucks to not be able to taste or smell. It really sucks. And I think I didn't think it was going to suck as bad as it did, but the exhaustion really is killing me. Yesterday, I thought that I was having a full comeback, and I think I got too excited. And then today I've got nothing in me today, but so you are a survivor, Robbie. What was the worst symptom for you?
Well, I do warn you, because I had the same experience where you have some days where you're like, dude, I'm awesome. I kicked COVID like it was nothing. And then the next day is just death. You look way better than I do for having COVID, though.
I have a lot of makeup on and glasses to cover half of my face. It's a whole thing.
I was going to say, this is literally the best you've looked.
It's all smoke and mirrors, guys.
I think you got to travel with that fire thing behind you. Wear those glasses full time. And I should try makeup, glasses, and hair. Maybe that would help me, too.
Yeah. And that's the lighting. My lighting is like optimized. Like I'm never going to look in real life like how I look in this spot, because I've worked during the whole pandemic to make this work. But this isn't really me.
I've done thousands of hours of podcasts from this exact setting and did nothing to try and make it make me look better.
Robbie looks like he has COVID.
The worst was the first 2 days. I mean, I was just blasting everything out of my ass. I was almost surprised that there was more inside of me to blast out of my ass, but it was really incredible. Do you find with the lost taste, because I didn't lose my taste completely. I did lose my smell completely. And then my taste was like super diminished. And I found I was eating more because I was trying to like make up for lost taste by like almost tasting for textures. Like you almost start using it, especially when you're just home bored, but maybe you're less of a eater fatty than I am.
I'm not. What for me though, and I'm also curious if you felt this way. This is just going to be COVID talk for an hour. So get ready, everybody. But while I lost my taste and smell 100%, but my taste, I could still detect if something was sweet or salty. Were you able to do that?
So I didn't lose my taste completely. Oh, okay. I lost my smell completely. And then my taste, I would say was like at 70 to not like, you know, no, I would say like 30% of regular. The weird thing is I'm like a month away from COVID and I can smell, but not like normal levels. Like I'm at like 10% of like normal of what I could normally smell like life. It's weird because like I have to get like real close to things and I can like register the scent and then I can like process like, oh, that's what's there. But it's not like a full smell profile.
That's why
don't you live in Queens?
Who, me? No, but I just found a poor place in Connecticut to live that looks like Queens.
Yeah. All right.
And I gutted all the furniture and stuff. So no, I don't live in Queens. I live in Connecticut.
You're out of there now? All right.
I am at that point right now, which now I'm terrified that it's not going to improve. But like, I feel like my smell is at the point where you're saying right now, because it started to come back yesterday and today. But it is that where I'm not just smelling anything, but if I really try to smell a particular thing, I can kind of detect what it is, but it's not like where it's supposed to be. But my taste throughout like the part where when I didn't have taste at all, I could still like feel if something were sweet. And I don't know how to say how I'm doing that because I'm not tasting it, but I can tell it's getting that part of my tongue, I guess, that's sweet or salty. I can tell. And that did end up making me want to eat more because I'm like, oh, I kind of just want to feel the feeling of salt or feel the feeling of sweet. But now it's coming back, but it's at the same level as my smell, where it's like, I really have to try to taste something.
Maddie, did you catch COVID? I mean, you look like you have a face that would catch diseases. How do you get through this?
I mean, I went looking for it. I couldn't find it. You know, I tried. I've been kissing people on the mouth, strangers in the street. Taking jujitsu again. Nothing's happening for me.
I mean, you're really trying to get out there. You're rolling around with dudes.
Yeah.
Sweat on you.
I'll get something, Robert.
Shannon, what was the moment? Because I remember it was kind of trippy when I realized I wasn't smelling anything. I was outside on my porch and I was like, it's weird that I don't smell anything. And then I went into my kitchen and like just started like opening up spices. And I was like, oh, that's so fucking weird. Mm. What was the moment for you?
Before I answer that, is that the moment that you realized that you did have it?
No. I'd already been sick for 4 days.
Okay. So so this past Thursday, now in retrospect, because like they call and they ask you all these questions, but on Thursday, I just felt exhausted, like how I kind of feel now, but I figured it's just because I was just tired because it's in the middle of the week and I had to wake up and I had a workout appointment with my trainer. And I just remember telling her, I have nothing in me today. And she's like, it's all right, we'll get through it. And then that was it. And then on Saturday, I started to have like a runny nose and like a scratchy throat in the middle of the day. And then in the middle of the day on Sunday at like 2 o'clock,
I don't even remember my boyfriend beating me.
Boyfriend, that's generous. So I ordered food, and when I went to take a bite of it, I was like, oh, I can't taste this at all.
Did you panic?
I was just like, God damn it. Because
you know that like rush of adrenaline you get when something like, something's definitely wrong.
Because
you didn't just have a moment where you're like, holy shit, this kratom's good.
No, I just felt like, I was just like, oh, That's it. I do have it.
Do you feel because, cheated because you got the vax? Are you like, man, they lied to me?
No, because my symptoms compared to other people I've spoken to are extremely mild. And I was around on Saturday. I was at a family outing. And like, according to what they're saying, I've had it for like the past week and I've been at work and not a single person that's been around. Everybody, I've told everybody I've been around to get tested. Everyone's gotten tested and nobody's gotten it. And I've been around vaccinated and unvaccinated people and nobody else has gotten it. And like Ralph explains that to me as like people who are vaccinated. I don't know anything, but he says like that we're supposed to have like a lower viral amount in our system. So it makes it harder to transfer and it affects your body less. And I mean, that's been my experience.
Just to clarify, because Ralph doesn't read and I do, the most recent studies is that people who are vaccinated can spread disease the same as people that people vaxxed and unvaxxed. There's no difference in terms of if you're sick and actually spreading it. And then the fun thing about the Delta variant is that it's more transmissible, like it's more infectious.
Lots.
But it's less deadly. Yeah. And so they did this funny thing where they said, oh, you would be getting more. Well, it's just the Delta variant. The Delta variant doesn't get people. It gets more people sick, but not as sick. Right. And then they went, no, but the thing's working. You would have been sicker if you hadn't gotten it, which is exactly correlates with the way that the new variant works. But listen, I've done hours of anti-vax material. I'm here to talk relationships, how beautiful Shannon looks in her glasses, even though she's dying and was vaccinated, and how the hell Maddie hasn't been the one who got most sick of all of us.
I mean, based on like real life evidence, when people in the studio who weren't vaccinated got COVID, it spread like wildfire through Gas Digital. When I got it, nobody else got it.
But you got two pieces of evidence you'd have to consider. One, sounds like you didn't have any shed rate while you were in studio. And two, it sounds like most people already got it. So you were at the tail end of Gas Digital and people getting it.
I wasn't around the people that got it. I mean, I wasn't around you. I wasn't around Bobby.
But are you still busting in?
No, I'm saying
in
there were less
sometimes?
People to infect because they had all had it.
Not the people that I've been working with this past week.
Oh,
I haven't worked with
those
people.
We should suck their dicks.
That's it.
And then we could feel, No, Maddie, on paper, I say that I go in 3 days a week, but then I just never show up.
Yeah, well, you got to, show something. What's your vitamin D like? You take vitamin D? I got on that immediately. I mean, I was taking it already, before this all started. And they were like, oh, vitamin D. I'm like, all right, I'm already on that. I was stocked up on chloride. Here's the thing. Like, I'm an OCD freak to begin with. So like, they're like, oh guys, sneeze into your elbows and cover your, wash your hands a lot. Like, yeah, these are like human traits. You know what I mean? When you're going to sneeze, you go for your shirt. If you can't go to the shirt, you go to the elbow. You don't sneeze in your hands and then start opening everything around you, which you see people doing. You see that fucking one video, the kid in the elevator? I think it was in Canada or some shit, some communist fucking nation where they were watching him move all around. And he goes into the elevator, right? He's got COVID. He's supposed to be quarantined. He's in the elevator and he just blasts sneezes everywhere. Like, I don't even think there was a cover. If there was a cover, it was hand. So it's like, yeah, that's the idiot that's getting everybody sick. It ain't me, I'm good.
I hate that people are still going out while sick. I feel like if we've learned one lesson from all this thing, because I'm also been a bit of a germaphobe, is if you're sick, just stay home. Even if it's not COVID.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Just stay the fuck home. Why you got to get other people sick? It's just not cool.
Dude, this is the greatest time ever for like anyone who works for a living. Because you're like, I got a sniffle. I probably shouldn't come in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, and you're good. Fantastic.
Yeah, but then you get tested.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, then you go right back to work.
Sure, but you get a day off instead of being like, oh, my stomach hurts. And really, you're just hungover.
But with this, though, people are still going to go to work sick, just not while testing positive.
It took me 3 days of having symptoms before I tested positive because I was surprised that I was as sick as I was. And so I kept testing just to make sure because I'm a nervous person. I don't want to get other people sick. So I'm going to venture to guess that a lot of people that have tested one day and then just been like, well, it's not that and moved on. That the tests just aren't good enough for single use or like they're getting to it too early. I'm not really a scientist, so I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, we've done 15 minutes of this, so we're going to move on. I will just say really quickly that the calls that I've been getting from the city or from whatever organization monitors this.
Oh yeah. That's what I was going to ask you.
It's been really
sweet. You really are lonely.
No, it's
not sweet.
It's that's very, how lonely Shannon
I am
is.
Very,
like,
that really is very
anyone
sad.
From the government, call me. I'll talk to anybody.
I'm stuck in my house with nobody since Sunday.
Shannon, as long as you put those glasses on, I'll talk to you.
Thanks, Robbie. but no, the first, like it's been, I think, every other day. and it's a different person, but they're just like very sweet. They're like, do you need anything? Do you have food in your house? Are you able to pay your bills?
Stop fucking calling me.
Can I finish? We got it that you don't like it.
No. Your point got across. And pull you away.
Well, I just like the fact that they are like, do you need anything? And what's funny though, is what they are sending me, I still haven't received. So I'm going to get it after I'm back to the real world, which is like, they send like a package of like masks, hand sanitizer, the oxygen thingy, which is what Bobby Hutch told me. He's like, make sure you get the oxygen thingy. But he had it bad, but he also has asthma. And like he was coughing so much. The only coughing I do is at night when I'm trying to sleep. So I don't think my oxygen level is a thing, but I was like, that'd be cool to have, but I still haven't received it. And this is Friday now. But anyway, all right, Robbie. So typically the first question that we ask new guests on the show is for you to tell a story about your worst date experience or weirdest sex experience. And you can pick either one. I know you've got stories.
All right. Well, worst date is easy because I've gone on a lot of bad dates. So it's hard to like pick the single worst one, but this is the worst incident I've ever had on a date. I've had ones where like other people did things that was like kind of loony or difficult to deal with, but this one was straight up my fault. I went out on a date with a lady. It's got to be 4 years ago. Met her on Tinder. We went to see some random concert, and this was a good lead. It was like an Asian chick who converted to Judaism, had hedge fund money, and was into jam bands. So we're talking about a good lead here. And I hadn't been to a concert in a while, and I still had that high school energy of like, if I'm going to a concert, I'm eating an edible, we're doing things big. Really, with like looking back, I mean, just fucking asshole. You're on a date, like you don't need to get unbelievably fucked up. Like, just
but was she also getting fucked up, or you so did this
was,
before?
She was drinking because she was younger. I'm gonna say I was 30 and she was probably 24, and she definitely had like 24-year-old like we're drinking energy. Like I was almost surprised, like she was like doing shots type energy, where I more just wanted to like eat an edible and like drink some beers. Whatever edible I ate, I'm just telling you, I was like gone, where I shouldn't have even been out of the house gone. You know what I mean? And like, you're still just trying to pretend like you're okay, but I'm out of it. Lucky for me, this Asian chick is the world's worst dancer. She's dancing like an idiot. I'm dancing like an idiot. So I'm getting away with how completely wrecked I am. And she starts like grinding on me, and her hair is kind of getting into my mouth. Now I would venture to guess that her hair is getting into my mouth, 'cause I'm just dancing like, you know, like I'm sure I was just like too stoned and didn't realize to breathe through my nose or close my mouth. But in whatever capacity, her hair is like kind of getting into my mouth, and like it gets like, and I have to like brush it away, and I go to brush it away, and a big chunk of gum that was in my mouth is now in her hair. Right. And I mean, this is a fucking disaster moment. This is a nice lady, and I just got a giant wad of gum in her hair. I was nervously chewing like seven sticks of Big Red or something. And it's just a big fucking glob in her hair. And at first I start pulling like the greatest George Costanza move, where like I'm like trying to like see if I can like quickly grab it type thing. Yeah. Like I'm like like a cat, you know, like a catnip. Like I'm just convinced I can get it out, and then I can't. And then I was just like, I have to own this. Like I was like, I just have to own this, because it's only going to get worse. Like at least it's on the outside. I was like, I just have to own this. So like, I was like, hey, and she was like nearly like crying mad at me, where like she turned around like livid, like you spit your gum in my, and then I went full George Costanza, where I was like, no, I didn't put gum in your hair. And she's like, well, how'd it get there? I was like, I don't even know. I'm just trying to be nice and let you know. I'm being the nice guy here. And she's like, no, I saw you chewing that gum earlier. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I never chewed gum in my life. I don't chew gum.
So by own it, you mean completely deny it.
Yeah. Well, okay. I thought it was like the Louis C.K. thing. Like I thought, hey, like if I just got on the line and said, yes, I jerk off in front of women, people would be like, it's fine. Good. Like, okay, you apologized. And then I learned that, no, I should have denied it. I should have pretended like it never happened. I should have gotten kinky later and maybe just sniffed it out or whatever, but that's the worst thing that ever I did on it. Like that was pretty bad. I mean, I got fucking glob of gum in this chick's hair.
So wait, how did this date end? Do you ever like rectify this problem? Like go to a pizzeria and get a scissor or something?
You know, I must have made a comeback on it, because we definitely made out a little bit and then got on a train and called it a night. And then for whatever reason, we never made, like, I tried making plans a couple times after that. It just kind of fell through. Maybe she came to terms later. Oh my God, this guy got too stoned and put gum in my hair. But night of, I seem to have rallied somehow.
Wait, so did this make it happen while the gum was still in her hair?
No. She went to the bathroom and I guess managed to figure out how to get it out.
Wow. And I guess she already handles enough of your saliva in the process. Like, why not make out with him?
Maybe that's what worked. Maybe she like got a feel for my saliva and realized like, you know, there's something here. It's like the enzymes creeped into her skin. I got to start spitting more gum on women. That's what I'm learning.
Hey guys, let's take a quick moment to talk about one of our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder and stronger erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. So this is as convenient as possible. You're probably sitting at your computer right now, and you can do this all right from there. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct. So it's also cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we got you guys. We have a special deal for you. You can try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N at checkout. Just pay $5 for shipping. So for basically the price of a cup of coffee, you can get a harder and stronger penis for when you have sex. Sex is cool. I still agree with that, even though I don't have it. So that's BlueChew.com, promo code Shannon, and you're going to receive your first month for free. So no risk, no effort. You do it all from right where you are, and it's going to make your sex life so much better. And we thank BlueChew for sponsoring the podcast. Okay, let's get back into it. This reminds me of something actually that I wanted to bring up in our like pre-question segment. So when you talk about the enzymes and whatever that she's getting from your saliva. So I was on one time, the Tyra Banks show 100 years ago, and the topic was science of dating. And I was like the bachelorette on the show, and there were three guys, and through using—
That's why you stay single, by the way. You just love playing the bachelorette on programs.
I mean, I was a child. This is like in my 20s that this happened. Maybe I should start doing these things again now, and that would do something to help. No, it didn't help then though, because the guys were all actors. Like I've seen those guys like in things like on television since then, like they were just actors, but I am the only like real person that's really there for dating. And so like we had to go through the five senses, and it was a whole thing. But the doctor that was like hosting it was trying to prove that like we don't pick people just on like physical attractiveness, that like based on their smell or taste or whatever, that there are other things that lead to it. Anyway, the reason why I mentioned that is because before I was on Tyra Banks, I was on another dating show, Eliminate, which was on UPN9. It's a garbage dating show from 100 years ago. And earlier this week, I got a call. You know, I haven't been in studio this week, but Lewis called me during Real Ass podcast to ask me about when I was on Eliminate, because he remembers me mentioning that. And so it came up on the show. A day or two later, Andrea, one of the members of Ding Nation, DMs me and asks me, do you remember the date or what the name of the show, the title of the episode was when you were on Eliminate? Because I want to try to find the episode. I was like, I've tried to look for it so many times and I can't find it. Now, today is Friday. And today, that show where they call me to ask me, it didn't air. It was a pre-record for today. So Andrea asked me, completely independent of it being brought up on the Real Ass podcast, about my Eliminate episode, not even knowing that it was mentioned on Real Ass podcast. Weird. And then after the show aired today, and then Andrea texted me, she's like, oh, Lewis just mentioned it. I was like, I didn't even realize that the show hadn't aired yet. That's a The Thing incidence, right?
That's terrifying.
That's a weird thing.
That's fucking nuts.
Why in the world would she be thinking of that? No, she asked me maybe yesterday.
I mean, I don't want to get greedy with The Thing incidents.
No, so they recorded on Tuesday. It aired today. And I think she asked me yesterday. So it's not the same day. But still.
It's right in between. Damn close enough.
Maybe it's the Lord telling you that you should go rewatch that episode because your true match is on it.
No, it's not. He's a little, he's a little Australian guy. It's not for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, that was, it was like that.
He's not that tall.
Maybe no, he's taking a little lot of guy. Steroids. Maybe since then he's like gone to prison, taken steroids, gotten got, tattoos.
Got leg implants.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
You're right.
What if he shows up all buff? He's like, good eye. And you're like, I just got sloshed.
Yeah, I'd be like, then the accent wouldn't bother me as much, I guess. I have.
Oh, you're bothered by Australian
no,
accent.
No, I'm not really an accent person. Except right, like Jason, that. Jason yeah. Statham. That's hot. That's the only one I could think of that's hot.
Isn't he a little twinky for you?
Yeah, because it's just hot on him when he's like playing his action roles and stuff and the accent and him being like a badass is all kind of cool together.
But you like trash Staten Island accent. That's just home for you.
I don't, though. I don't because there are some times where it's too much sometimes.
It's too much all the time.
No, because it's like I feel like my accent only shows sometimes.
Right.
I like a person like me where it's not all accent. Well, then I say that, but it's like not all accent.
But even then, like you're like, oh, you're from New York. Whereas they're like, you know, they do like the Tony Soprano, the gabagool, you know, the mozzarella, you get the mozzarella and the good. That's ricotta. I'm Italian, too, but like not really.
I will say that I have rejoined Tinder. I rejoined yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys know me. I'm just going to go through this very quickly because I haven't spoken about it on this show. But for the listeners, I have been like attempting to, and Robbie and Maddie both know this already, but I attempted to try again with my ex because I'm so stupid. And this is the ex that was on the show and he's the one, like, we went away on vacation together and then hung out a few times. And that's the guy that I went to the wedding with a couple weeks ago, which I think is where I actually got COVID. I think it was at that wedding. So we tried. And he at the beginning, you know, I am a fan of, you know, past predictor, the behavior in the past is like the best predictor of future behavior. I am a fan of this. And he kept telling me, he's like, let go of the past, stop thinking this is going to go so bad. Let's just see where it goes. And so I was like, all right, I guess like if he's going to be good this time, I'm fine with letting go of the past. And I'm so stupid. And so it ended up being the same shit again, where he never reaches out. He never asks to hang out. It's just kind of like, do you want to go to this wedding? Do you want to go to this wedding? And so it's basically like I heard somebody say it like this and it was perfect, where he wants me to be his girlfriend, but he doesn't want to be my boyfriend. Like he wants me to fill in the roles where he wants somebody, but he doesn't want to play the role of what I need. And so, and I laid that all out to him after the wedding we went to last week. And I told him what I needed in order to proceed. He said that he understood it and then went on to then not reach out to me for a week. And this past Monday, when I tested positive, this tomorrow, actually, when we're recording this, Maddie and I and him and Maddie's chick, we're all supposed to go whitewater rafting together. And so when I tested positive, I texted them both. And I was like, guys, just letting you know, I'm not gonna be able to go. I just tested positive. Afterwards, the shitty person that Maddie is, Maddie texted me independently of that. And he was like, how are you feeling? And he's even checked on me since then.
Hold on a second, Shannon. These allegations are all alleged. All right. I got a reputation to uphold.
So Maddie did ask me a couple of times how I was. Frank never said, how are you? And I felt so bad because he was going to lose the money that he spent on this trip. And I was like, let me know, like, if you need a copy of my thing that says positive or a note or something, and maybe they'll give you a refund because you're not allowed to get a refund. And he's like, I'll figure it out. And I'm sorry, guys. And so that was it. He was just like, I'll figure out, not even like, you get better, don't even worry about the money.
I'm laughing ever. At your life right now. I'm not even laughing at the cat. I'm just laughing at
everything. Yeah, the whole
everything's
thing.
Falling apart.
The whole thing. Yeah. So yeah. So anyway. So that was Monday. He didn't say anything. And then over the next few days, his mother texted me every single day to ask me how I was doing, to check on me, because she had COVID before. He never did anything. On Wednesday, I had it and I had to just like end it in my mind because there's another wedding we're supposed to go to next month. And so I texted him like a long thing, which I drafted and rewrote 100 times because I just wanted to get my point across without being like mean or anything. And I was just like, I told you what I needed. You actually did the opposite in return and I'm not getting what I need. And so like, I hope that you find somebody that makes you want to like hang out with them. It's not me. I wish you the best, and the end. And he responds with like, what? Like this is crazy news. And
I would have shown up with a shotgun.
He's like, what's COVID done to your brain? Was his response. And then he ends up calling me. We argue for a couple of minutes about the same shit. And then later on that night, he texts me and he apologizes. He's like, I didn't know that you were sick. I'm so sorry if you need anything, blah, blah, blah. But this isn't about, that's not what this is about. It's not just about these days.
He was apologizing. I didn't know you were sick.
Because he's like, you were vaccinated, so I didn't think you could get sick. But it's like, you don't say
how.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. And my response was, of course you didn't know I was sick because you're not in my life. You're not in my life at all. All how right, would you
hold
know?
On to be to all right to play devil's advocate, be on his side for a second here, right? He may not be a bright man, right? So listen, and a lot of people aren't very smart, right? A lot of people are like, oh, vaccinated, you're 100% covered. You're good to go. Nothing.
He's anti-vax.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
He's anti-vax.
Yeah. Like, so, in the sense so now, that like, so wait, so, hold on. So here we go. Ready? So now he's anti-vax. So why? Because he doesn't think it works? Because then why wouldn't he check if you're sick?
That's my point.
The man's a fool. He's a dumb guinea from Staten Island. What do you expect?
I mean, I'm not going to talk shit about
him. He's a
nice
guy. He likes me. I feel bad now.
Yeah. I'm just laying out the facts without trying to add too much of my emotion to it, even though I'm very angry and I'm obviously hurt because, you know, I love him. I feel like I always will. Sure. And I really, I tried to let it go and I tried to like go forward, but how do you not talk to someone for a week that you say that you love and that you want to like proceed with? Like that's crazy behavior to me.
All right, I want to backpedal a little bit because I feel terrible for what I just said. I just don't think that you two are on the same intellectual level.
I haven't said anything in a while, so I just want to say the thing is, and that's it, and I'll hand it back to you.
Wait, hold on. My cat's in the way. Hold on.
I gotta ring it till you find it. That's the new rule. I ring it till you find it.
Maddie, I am...
Yeah, you have to put it on your bell, kid.
I never even got Erin's number, so I can't even work with her to get rid of your bells.
No. She wants nothing more, by the way.
Oh, but anyway, so I was going this long roundabout way because now what I'm worried about is because I've been so angry about it. And so like when the anger subsides is when like there becomes a problem where I'm not as angry. And so I could be susceptible to his attempts. Not that he hasn't, you know, made any attempts and he won't. So that's when I joined Tinder last night and I started talking to this fireman. And it's fine. It's whatever. He's shorter than I would want. But like we were able to exchange a couple of messages where I didn't hate him yet. But today, then he texted me again and he was like, he sent like three messages in a row and he was like, oh, I was thinking about you today and I am 100% out. So while I'm out because
I can't even disagree.
I'm not this clingy type of crazy chick in general. I don't want attention from just anybody. It's like, but the person I exchange I love yous with, I feel like some attention should come my way, not from a stranger. You shouldn't be thinking about me yet.
So here's the thing, right? Like the thing is men aren't great at like, you know, communicating with others. You know what I mean? So it's like, what do you say? I got to say something. I have to ignite this conversation somehow. I was thinking about
Shannon,
you today.
You got to go, hey, bitch, I just picked up some new steroids and I'm going to be squatting later. Do you want to watch?
That would wet your shorts for sure. 100%.
No, because you're being too obvious about it. Where it's like, instead, if you like posted a video of you squatting, after you had just done steroids, maybe that would be hot, but like, you can't be too obvious about it. Anyway, I don't want to make this whole thing about me. I just wanted to update the listeners on my life. So I'm trying, I'm back on a dating app. It's already come. It's not working. I think I've had love in relationships already and I've had sex once upon a time and it's just not going to happen anymore.
That's crazy talk. You're assuming this is what that I feel. You're done with relationships or sex for the rest of your life.
It's been 3 years and 5 months, Robbie, since I have had intimate relations with a man.
About all of it.
It's not going to happen. It's done. I'm going to be 40 soon. It's over.
Oof.
Anyway, on that note, let's move on. Go ahead.
You're looking for it again though, right? Like it's something that objectively you're like, I could be into doing that again in my life. Like you're not shutting it down because you don't like it. You just feel like you're not finding what you're looking for.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's nothing that's happening to make me think that it's going to happen. I mean, like with this ex and I, like it's been 10 years of us like going back and forth. I haven't fallen in love with another guy since him. Mm. It's been 10 years. It's been 11 years if you count when we were together, but it's been 10 years. So it's like, that's just not, it's there's no like sparkle of hope that I see at the end of the tunnel. Anyway, let's move on to the next segment, which is bad things. This is the part of the show we talk about fight stories. So we're not going to talk about love and stupid shit like that anymore. We're going to talk about physical violence.
It's bumming me out. Wait,
can I tell a good bad sex story though? It'll be real quick.
Okay, yes.
All right.
Is that the story? It was real quick.
The end. No, I mean, that's every time. So that one's not that remarkable. I was having sex with the lady and we're in a hotel room. I met her that night. I was basically just really hammered and yelled at her like, hey, you want to have sex in my hotel room? And it actually worked. Now, I wish I could get that level of hammered still. It just doesn't work that way. But like, there was a time in my life where you could get that level drunk where that made sense in your head. And for some reason, the universe is like, yeah, that's a good idea. You should yell that at a person. And so we're in a room, we're having sex, or someone else also having sex on the other bed. This is a pretty wacky, wild evening. I, in my head, for some reason, thought I was going to like pull that move where you kind of like pick up the lady and like just from your back and then turn it around type thing. Yeah. But I didn't realize that we were at the edge of the bed.
Oh no.
And I swear I like picked her up and like basically just slammed her into the floor. And we both like somersaulted over. And I pulled like that little kid move, you know, you ever see like when a little kid gets hurt and you're like, you're fine. And like, you almost try and distract them. Yeah. So I just kept going.
Oh God. That was an assault.
And that was it. No,
And she rolled with it.
She rolled with it. Like she had that moment at first, like what just happened? And then, you know, we just kept at it.
Wow.
So she was at your level of drunk.
Oh, I can't imagine she remembers this. At least I can tell the story. I don't think you're allowed to say that anymore. No, she signed paperwork beforehand saying that I am
full consent.
Full consent. I would love to go to this gentleman's bedroom and have sex on one bed while my friend and his friend have sex on the other bed. And I'd love to leave shortly thereafter and hopefully fall on the floor at one time during the proceedings. That was all in the paperwork. And so I just tried to, Shannon, you're a lady. I'm not going to get in trouble after this, am I?
Absolutely not.
I yelled, do you want to have sex in my room? She said, yes. There you go. Consent.
All right, guys, one more quick little break to talk about one of our longest running sponsors, which is Yo Kratom. Fans of the show over the age of 21, I want to tell you about Yo Kratom, the home of the $60 kilo. How much? $60 for what? A full kilo. That's right. If you're currently a fan of Kratom, you can be getting it from our sponsor, Yo Kratom, for just $60 a kilo. If you aren't a fan of Kratom, you can ignore this. It has nothing to do with you. Fast forward like 30 seconds. But if you are a fan of Kratom, it's time to stop overpaying and having to go to corner stores or gas stations to get what you're looking for. You probably know, but if you're having to go to some local spot, you're never going to know what strain they have on hand, what the quality is of the product. If you go to Yo Kratom, and you can go over there right now, YoKratom.com, and you can scroll through. They have every strain you can think of. It comes in powders, capsules, tinctures. They have everything you can possibly need. And they even have their own proprietary strain, which is called Trainwreck, which is my personal favorite. But you can scroll around there and you can even Google what each strain does, because each one does something a little bit different. There are some that are more for pain relieving, some to help you go to sleep, and some that actually boost your mood and give you a little bit of a go get them for the day. I can't have caffeine because I'm so freaking sensitive to it. So I will use, and now I can't remember what the name of the strain is. I think it's one of the white mangas that it gives me a little bit of oomph to get the day going. But do your own research and check out which one's right for you. One more time, thank you to Yo Kratom for supporting this show. And if you are into Kratom, Yo Kratom is the one place where you can find $60 kilos. These guys are one of the biggest Kratom wholesalers, and they created YoKratom.com so that you can buy directly at incredible prices. Last time, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, and so much more. All right, let's get back into it. There's something making it look like my eyes are red. Do you guys see it?
Maybe it's the devil in you.
I think so. I hope you guys aren't. I don't There's know where it's coming from. There's nothing red. Oh, you know what it is? It's the fire. The fire is Robbie. Oh,
It's Bibbidi Bouncing.
All right.
I don't think it's a deal breaker, so we can probably power through.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. Shoo. Okay. So your fight story, Robbie.
Oh, that's a good fight story too. I'm curious. Have you guys been in good like sprawls? Because honestly, no.
I've been in like one real physical altercation with a girl at least. And it was just stupid. It was over in 2 seconds. I was like 16 or 17 at the time. And that's been my only physical altercation with a chick that like went to punches. Knock on wood. That was it.
Got you. What about you, Maddie? Any?
Not since I was much younger. Yeah. Adults are a way scarier breed of people.
I'm basically in the same boat as Maddie, but I have this one incident where I was at a concert and the guy behind me like kept like obviously shoving me. Yeah. And I'm holding a beer and it's kind of like spilling. And so I twice turn around and like, hey man, you mind not shoving me? And then like a flagrant like shove, like, hey dude, can you not do that? Shoves me again. And then I have this moment in my head, it's like, all right, I have to hit him. And like I really kind of like talk myself up in my head where mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, you know, you've taken some boxing classes, you know how to throw a punch. I'm like, you've got this. But like it's really like I'm like weighing it in my head, like, okay, this is my big moment, I'm about to throw my first punch. And so I turn around and I guess just because I've seen this in a movie, I threw my beer in his face and then I went to punch him with the other hand. And I literally just fell right on the floor. Like I fell on my own beer that I had thrown. I guess they don't tell you that part, that if you throw the beer first, you might make the floor slippery. So I went to punch him and just fell. Story gets better. No. It was actually at a Cage the Elephant concert at this venue in New Haven. Mm-hmm. And I threw that punch and fell on the floor and the place turned into a brawl. I mean, a brawl. Everyone just started like kicking the shit out of each other. And I'm such a pussy. I was on the floor. I managed to just like crawl away and like look behind at what I'd caused behind me. And like the brawl got settled pretty quickly. Because one of the guys was like an MMA dude. He took some guy to the floor and just totally kicked the shit out of him. Yeah. But there was like a 30 second to 45 second just absolute mayhem of people fucking throwing punches. And you know,
I have to ask, yes. Before the melee happened,
yeah,
was there enough time between you falling and that happening that you got to hear this guy's reaction to what you had just done at all?
No. Actually, I forgot about this part, but there was a guardian angel that when I fell, I think kind of like picked me up and like pulled me out. And then I think that guy got the shit kicked out of him.
Oh, no.
No, it was really fast. I mean, it was the most pathetic thing in the world. I turned around to punch the guy. Literally, I just wiped out. Like, it could not have been more of a moment of like, don't ever, from this point moving forward, don't ever convince yourself you're cool in any capacity. You'll only get yourself into trouble.
But I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, that was a moment. You were at a crossroad, right? And you decided, no, I'm going to fight. And instead of like getting laid out there, you slipped and fell and crawled the hell out. You know what I mean? Your dignity is still intact.
Right. I guess I'm going to fight. I didn't lose the fight.
No, you just got the hell out of there once it started.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. But that's really the only fight I've been in.
How old were you?
That's got to be 24, 25, something around there.
Oh, that's great. And so, you've never since then, never thrown a punch.
Since then, I've never been in a fight. One time in camp, a kid tried like starting a fight with me and I'm actually like, I got a low center of gravity. I got a really good shove. I can get a lot into a good shove, which is very chewy, but I'm telling you, I can lay someone out on a shove.
Did you say since then in camp?
No. I'm saying I've never been in a fight since then. Prior to that, I once had an incident where some kid tried to like start a fight with me and he made the mistake of like just getting within like range without throwing a punch. And I just I threw him through like a shelf, crashed onto a bed and I topped on top of him. I was going to like, and then people broke it up. So that's the only other kind of semi fight. Other than that, I don't think there's been any scraps.
So you had that confidence in your mind when the next thing happened.
Hey, in Jew camp, I've thrown people through a shelf. I'm good to go. I'm 1-0 in shove matches.
All right, let's move on to our final segment, which is scary things. This is where we talk about weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal experiences. It could be anything ranging from a dream that like came true to actually seeing a spirit, you know, a real full body apparition, anything that freaked you out in the moment that you couldn't explain.
Oh, shit. I thought I had a good ghost story, but when you threw in the dream element, like that's more...
Give it all to us.
No, that's close. I've never had anything ghost related. Maybe after I'll tell a funny ghost story. I have nothing that's happened where I was like, oh shit, that could have been a ghost or like that was weird. But I've definitely had moments with dreams where they freaked the hell out of me. Like I've had dreams that were like so dark and creepy that you're like, here's all right, I'll put in this terms. This is what weirds me out the most about dreams is that it's very weird to me that dreams are a shared experience. And what I mean by that is that there's common themes in dreams that like everybody has, which almost makes me think to like that we're tapping into, like you would think your dreams are really personal to you, that you see information and like your subconscious reinterprets it and like displays it as things, because it's like almost just trying to process the information from your day. There's something very weird to me that like we all share similar dreams, which would suggest that it's almost like a program that runs, like it's almost a CD that's popped in because like that realm thinks that you need to see something.
I feel like it's, because the one that I'm thinking of is we all have the dream about like being back in like, I don't know what that was, being back in like high school or college, and all of a sudden you're there and there's a test or something due or whatever, and you had no idea, and you know, whatever. And it's like, we've all had that, but we've all also had the same shared experience of most people of being in school and then being scared, you know? So it's like those, there are certain things that most people go through that will come up, you know, that are traumatic or that we associate with things. So I feel like that could be, but Maddie, I think would be more on the side of what you said before, that it's a program.
I would say the weirdest one, which I luckily I haven't had as of late, cause my life's a little bit more in order, but I had the nightmare of driving from the backseat of a car a lot.
Yeah. That's a bad one.
And I used to have it a lot, or driving and you realize like you're way too fucked up to be driving and like you're in the driver's seat and you're losing control of the car. But that's like a very common, especially the backseat one is like super common. But then like, if you start getting a little bit more granular, like, hey, I saw a frog in a dream, and then you go online and you're like, oh, I also saw like, what was the frog? It's like, it depends on how much like memory recall you have for your dreams, but there's a lot of shared symbolism in there, which suggests to me that in some capacity, it's not like dreams almost aren't personal to you. It's like some sort of a program, like a shared experience or a program.
But I would think, I mean, look, it's all part of a simulation, right? So yeah, in a way, it's definitely part of the program. But assuming we're not in a simulation for, you know, just silly reasons, I would imagine that just that feeling of being out of control, that seems like a very obvious, like psychological thing to be like, oh, driving from the backseat of the car, you're afraid that you're out of control in your life. Same thing with drinking, you know what I mean? Like drinking and driving.
Isn't it somewhat weird to you though, that in the realm of infinite possibilities of what your subconscious can conjure? Cause like, I think of other dreams I've had and it's like, I didn't even realize I was that imaginative. So it's weird to me if it's like, hey, I don't have control over a situation. Like, why isn't it a tree that's falling down a log flume that's going up backwards? Like it's literally could be infinite. Why is it that it's like all of our brains subconsciously are processing it down to one single imagery? It's almost like a painting. Like, hey, it's like an artist, you know what I mean? Processes a feeling into a painting to convey some kind of an idea. It's weird that all of our subconscious would, you know, hone down one idea or something that it's trying to share with you into like a single either event or a single, like that. That's the weird part.
Like in particular, the driving from the back seat one, you mean?
Yeah. Or I haven't had in a while, but like, I think the ship sinking is a classic. Like there's a lot of classics that are shared experiences. Or have you ever
dreams
had like
of
one
falling?
Yeah. Or
shit like that, right?
Naked. Like there's a lot of them that are kind
of
shared.
I have a lot of dreams where I'm taking a shit and just everyone's around me.
I'm just
like shitting in a bucket or on a toilet that's like in the middle of a field for no reason.
See, I haven't had that one.
I have a lot where I need a shit, but there's no bathroom. That's a terrible one.
I don't have that one. But I think like the best way I've heard it explained is that dreaming, like they don't really know why you do it exactly, but the thing they think the most is that you are kind of like decompressing everything. Like you're defragmenting every day's stuff through the dream and then processing it all in your subconscious, moving on to the next day so that you can take on the next day a little bit better. You know what I mean? So we're all doing the same shit. We're all, you know, losing control at some point. So
there
you
are,
have the car dream.
Like based on, well, first of all, I have the car dream also, and I don't drive ever.
Right.
So that's a like weird thing. But I have like with that theory in mind, there are days where I will wake up, because I always remember my dreams, and I'll write them down if it's something weird, and I can tell like, oh, it was this, I know that this is from this show that I watched because it made me think of this or whatever. Like I can usually pinpoint a lot of it, but then there's always like there's crazy ones where it's like I'm in hell, I've died and I'm in hell, or you know, like I've had weird ones that, but it's also like this is what we talk about and like what I think about, and I just feel like there's just like, I think that there are ones that maybe are like one-offs, but like we all have the same human experience. So it's all going to kind of.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I almost...
sorry to burst your bubble, you know, but that's, that's the one part of the simulation they hid the best, I feel like.
No, it's almost like it's weird to me that when people take DMT, they seem to see similar things. And
that,
like,
that freaks me out. Yeah,
there's three or four things. It's almost like a cycle of four. Like some people see the aliens, some people go through like the birth of the world. Like everyone seems to describe one of four different experiences. And like if they've done it enough times, they've kind of seen all four. Dreams almost seem like a similar thing to me. Where you're, I'm not saying all the time, I'm just saying that there's a shared reality to the dream state that I would have thought was more personal, and almost makes me think like there's some dude like popping in a CD, like, all right, this is the one that, that this guy's seeing tonight.
What
are the dreams that have freaked you out?
I recently had one where like for some reason I was like collapsing at work, and like I realized like I wasn't fine. Like I don't know what happened before that moment, but I just had this moment like they were looking at me, I'm like, oh, and like I was trying to even communicate like, oh shit, I'm not fine, I collapsed. And then I just like, but it was like one of those things where it's like a perfect cut of cut, like collapsing at work to you waking up and
yeah,
so right. Where it was just like alarming. I don't know what happened before that one, but I don't know, I've definitely had some dreams where like, fuck, that was like creepily dark.
So, but nothing that ended up coming true. They're just dreams that freaked you out.
No, I've never had something where something happened in a dream and then was reflected later in reality.
Oh, you got me all excited. I feel like that's what you led us all to believe when you were talking about dreams at the beginning.
Do you, do you get deja vu at all?
I mean, yeah, it's not like, like an overwhelming sensation, but there's definitely moments in my life where... I mean, I live the same day every day. I jerk off, I feel bad about it. I eat some junk food, pretend like I'm going to go. So it's like every day is, it's almost too much deja vu for like small deja vu to even, you know, hit me.
It's a great life. I wish I didn't have any deja vu. It's terrifying every time it happens. You're like, how long am I going to be in this for? That's like almost that. I mean, I've never done it, but it almost sounds like a DMT thing where like you're stuck in that fucking mind frame for a certain amount of time. You know,
I tell you guys, I got a funny ghost story for you. Which is my grandmother, really sweet little old lady, recently passed away. God bless her memory. But she, I don't remember this. I was like 3 or 4 years old. And she claims that she was lying in bed and she saw clear as day, like a ghost that looked like a Jesus type person. Like she had like a sunroof type thing in her room. And she said clear as day, she saw that thing. And she said that she told me this when I was a little kid. And I was like, Grandma, I believe you, but you shouldn't tell this to anybody else.
There was that's not the first time that we have heard a story like that on the show.
Interesting.
There was Cara Maria, who is a cast member of the reality show The Challenge and also from The Real World. When she was on, one of her experiences was when she was a child, also seeing what she believed to be Jesus, like glowing in the corner.
Probably a sleep paralysis thing.
That this one was not, because like we always kind of run through the filter of that first when people tell their stories. And so it wasn't that. And then her other thing was like her like ghost dog came back to her. But it is something that, I mean, more people have experienced.
It really is frustrating not knowing what the hell's going on in our brains. I got to tell you, like every day is just a nuisance.
I have some, if you have no other, weird stories to tell, Robbie, I have some videos, some scary videos that
I
we can watch.
I got something stuck in my ass yesterday. Do you talk about that kind of stuff here?
Maddie would love to hear it. I'm sure.
Sure.
No, you know what? It's for another one. It's a long story. You can go with your weird story, Shannon.
Okay. It is going to take me 1 second. I'm just trying to pick which is the one that I like. Oh, this is a good one.
Oh,
okay.
So I'll start my ass story and then you can get into yours and we can come back to mine.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
I was totally on board. Okay, wait, I just have to find the timestamp. One moment. So this is just to remind you guys, because we've done this a few times before. I steal these videos from this guy called, it's Nuke's Top 5 is the YouTube page. And he shares a bunch of like top 10, 5 scary videos of the week or of the month or whatever. And so I skimmed through them. And I've said this before, that when something really freaks me out or scares me, I get like tears in my eyes. And so I use that as my barometer if something is scary enough to bring to show you guys. And so like these videos are what made me cry in the moment. And so that's what I'm going to share with you. So here is the first one. 1 second. This one is, and I'll give you a little bit of backstory. So I'm trying to remember where the hell this was. Colombia, maybe Brazil, something like that. One of those. And it's like a little like backwoods highway. And it appeared that people were often getting into accidents at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but not like with other cars. Like they would just lose control for what appears to be no reason in the same spot. Okay. So I'm going to start this from here. Oh, also, I don't know if he said it already, so I'll say it. So this footage is actually from a news station. So it's not, this isn't like somebody walking in the street or whatever. Like this is what was aired on the news.
But it's local Mexican news. So
yeah,
you know, it's basically a person with a cell phone camera.
Can you guys hear it?
No.
Okay, hold on, because I fucked up last time. Hold on.
The hell are they blurring out there? Is that like a cab or some shit?
Hold on 1 second. You guys just talk for 1 second. I have to remember how to share my audio.
Maddie, you ever get anything stuck in your ass?
A shit for a while. I thought, yeah. I was going to die like Elvis. I had taken Percocets for longer than I should have. Ooh. For my wisdom tooth removal. And I got blocked up bad and I had to go in after it. And like I said, I thought I was going to die.
Utensils or like just a finger?
A finger. I tried getting it out. I tried being dainty and using a wet wipe. That didn't work. I lubed up. I don't know. Actually, I may have used a tool at one point. Not like a Craftsman wrench or anything, you know, but like,
right.
Yeah, it was
some Vaseline or you have special lube.
For a lot of KY. I had KY on hand. Luckily.
Right.
You know, back in my anal days, this was, you know,
I sometimes lube up my asshole before shit. It's great. Less wipe, easy push.
Not I mean, bad. It's not like a thing I do. I'm saying like,
no, I'm saying in regular life sometimes if I'm waking up in the morning, I feel like it's going to be a push job. I'll throw some,
I'll tell you, it's not a bad idea, Robert.
It's a good hack. I kind
of like what you're thinking here.
Yeah, I share it with everyone. You'd be surprised on the backside, very minimal wiping. You mostly just push out your own Vaseline.
You can eat better.
No, that's a terrible idea, Shannon. That's why you can't find love in your life. It's because you're so convinced that it's healthy eating, and then you got low energy because you're not eating carbs, and then you go out, you're instantly mad at a fireman.
I'm
trying to give you advice for how you could be doing better, and you're just cutting me off on technicals here.
I eat carbs, and my pooping, I have no problem, and I didn't get any sort of stomach things from, at least not yet. I keep thinking I'm out of the woods, and I'm not. But yeah. Anyway, here's the video with sound.
A TV news crew shows up to film the gory wreckage for the local news.
Yikes.
But when they broadcast the footage, viewers quickly point out that the TV news cameras accidentally caught something else.
Ooh.
Something truly bizarre.
Ali na saída para Três Lagoas, esta caminhonete capotou.
All right, so he's saying this guy fucked up bad.
Wait, that's right.
I think it's a cat behind the mangled truck.
I'm gonna mute it for a second because they're gonna show it a bunch of times now. So it comes from the back first.
I think it's a blurry animal. I think it's just bad footage of like a cat or some shit.
Okay, I'm gonna put the audio back on because I want you to hear the rest of it.
Yeah. Even stranger.
It started eating one of the police officers.
Another local TV.
They said 2 years before the crash.
Station reported a wreck very similar to this one. This exact same stretch of road, a truck that looked just like this one.
And the exact same face.
And in that wreck, an 8-year-old boy tragically lost his life.
Dentro da caminhonete estavam 6 pessoas. Entre elas, uma criança de 8 anos que morreu na hora.
So is this the restless spirit of the boy who passed away in a very similar accident? And if not, just why is a child wandering through highway wreckage at 3 a.m.? Let me know what you think.
Okay.
It looks like it's either digitally put in or it's like a blurry animal that just kind of poked its head.
Or maybe the flashlight and you're getting a little bit of a Warshak thing going on there. You're seeing a face, you know?
Could or the be. Ghost of an 8-year-old. But why is he restless? If you got killed in a crash, like, does that like you can't get into heaven because you died in the crash and now you got to just stay on that highway forever and try and, you know, bring other, like, you got to cause other car crashes with trucks that are similar so that they also got stuck on that highway.
But he's just a kid. So maybe he thinks he's helping them because there's something that like fucks people up in that spot. And instead, well, he's not doing a very good job. That's why I said he's a kid. So maybe he's trying to help and not actually helping.
Stupid kid.
By the way, Kevin in the chat said he's dead, ruining his life because he lives alone. Now he's freaked out.
Is he? He's not going to drive, is he? Because he'll probably end up like that kid.
Let me see. I have one. Okay, I have two of them. I'm gonna pick this one instead. Hold on. I have to find the timestamp. 1 second.
I just feel like, why wouldn't these be everywhere? You know what I mean? Oh, we have definitive proof that there are ghosts in the world, and
probably because when people look at it, nobody believes it. I mean, how can you? You can't prove it. Like, people will analyze the videos.
I was gonna say they got people to believe all that. You know, make you believe a vaccine would work.
I'm happy with my results.
It's probably better off. You probably would have died. That's terrible.
I don't know. I would just say the cough that I experience at night, the first night, really made me nervous because it's like, it's not a, at least in my experience, it wasn't a productive cough. So it's like, you can't make it stop. You just have to wait for it to be done. And it really, I was like, if this gets worse, like, that's terrifying. And thankfully it only happened.
Coughs.
Yeah. Yeah. It scared me. Okay. So here's the other one. This is okay. So basically, I'll give you the quick rundown because it's a long clip, but everything else is stupid in it. So it's an Indian guy of some kind. I'm so sorry to be so racially I'm not trying to be racially insensitive, but this is what they're saying is in this video is a jinn, which we've talked about several times in the show, which is like Middle Eastern people kind of classify all ghosts and spirits and everything all as like a jinn. So this guy is kind of like going through this house and he sees like mists and like things move and stuff. But the way this moved, I appreciated. I hope this is the right timestamp. Okay, this is, that's stupid. This is fine.
Oh boy.
It's like stupid little things happen, but you know, you can make a door look like it's closing. Yeah, I didn't go to the right timestamp. Let me skip ahead a little. Okay.
Man, they're really pumping the creepy music.
Yeah.
Heartbeat.
So he's praying.
Yikes. Is he about to blow himself
up? I'm way more scared of this guy than I am of any kind of ghost that we're going to find in there.
So one of the crutches just fell. Wait, I missed it. It was the first crutch that I wanted you guys to see. There we go. Okay, here. Because you know when there.
I mean, that's like that's such a real reaction, though. That's exactly how I would react.
It's the way that he reacts is so crazy that it doesn't feel inauthentic. But also with a lot of these videos, the way things like move, it's always coming from like off screen. Like you see a chair move. Yeah. It could very easily be a string pulling it off screen. The way this flew seems like a little bit more of a thing to create.
Can I see that shadowy thing again? Did they do it in slow motion for you?
Yeah, I got to try to find it. Hold on. Because that was like earlier in the thing, the mist. Yeah, it's right here.
No, there was a second series of mist after the crutch fell. There was like a mist in the corner.
Oh.
Yeah, in that doorway area.
Yeah, over here. Like, I mean, you can't see where I'm pointing.
I'm gonna mute it because we don't need to hear it. Is it around here?
By that doorway where like that flashlight was a second ago, you'll see it. There's like a weird mist.
Yeah, they never, I don't think they bring that up.
Doesn't a guy pop out? Yeah, look at
that.
Something
just flew. That was like a bat or something just flew at him.
Let me go back again.
You're going to see a black thing kind of fly at him. Not to mention there literally looks like.
I'm going to put the volume back on for a second.
Pause. Did you see something just flew at him?
No, but this is the moment that the second crutch falls. No,
something's in that room just like threw a bottle at him.
Oh.
You didn't just see something fly towards his face?
I saw him jump, but I didn't see like a thing.
All right, keep pressing play. I want to see what that shadowy whatever was.
Okay. I went back a little.
Man
ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء.
Terrifying dark mist-like figure can be seen in a doorway, and a pair of crutches aggressively flies across the room right in front of the terrified explorer.
Yeah, I feel like someone was there, threw a bottle, pulled the string on the thing, and then, I don't know.
Also, the mist could very well just be this Indian guy vaping right in front of where the light source is. That's what I think of. But, it's, I don't know, there are so many stupid ones. I have watched hours of these, and this is the best that there is. Like, there's so much shit that to me just registers as fake. I don't know how they're doing it, but it doesn't scare me.
We've droned a lot of kids in that area, so, you know, they could be
a lot of restless
people.
Kids in that area too. Yeah, exactly.
Last question for you, Robbie, and I didn't prepare you for this one. What do you think happens when we die?
Oh, shit.
It's the best answer.
Okay. I think it's anybody's guess. The best thing I've read on it is that your essence lives on. As to what you would quantify as being your essence, at least according to this author, it's kind of what you've had to fight for to fix within your personality. So it's like if you were, let's say, I don't know, you were like a thief and you really had to like fight with yourself to overcome that thing, that energy that you produce in like kind of fixing your own personality is your essence. It kind of transcends even conscious thought, and that lives on. Now, does that mean that, like, you know, I guess if you're rot as a human being and like you've never tried to work on yourself, you're always evil to other people, like that there's some sort of essence that lives on in perpetuity and like you kind of don't like being that thing? I don't know. But his definition is that like whatever you kind of fight for within yourself to fix is like that's like the essence of your core, and that lives on. That to me was the most reasonable or most inspiring thing I've kind of heard that made like that I could maybe attach to or buy into. I'm hoping there isn't an afterlife because I grew up very religious. And if that version of the afterlife exists, I'm in a lot of trouble. I feel, you know, I don't know. I think it's good to try and just be a good person and kind of hope for the best.
With that theory though, it's hard for me to figure out then what quantifies then as like fixing yourself. Is it that you put a lot of energy into something? Because then if somebody is a shit person and they put all of their energy into like murder and like mayhem in the world, is it that thing that moves on? Because that would be what their essence is. Like, does it have to be something that's good that carries over?
I don't know. Well, that's what I was saying. If he doesn't really talk to the negative that much in that, but I guess if your essence is rot, then you would continue to kind of exist as rot. I mean, we're no longer talking about the framework of our reality, so you'd have to kind of define it in poetic terms. But to speak more to the positive, I think we all kind of know our negative character traits. This also, like, they used to talk about this in Judaism. I mean, an interesting enough concept, but let's say you believe in God, which I actually think is just better defined as meaning. If you believe that your life has meaning, then like obviously we must be transcending this reality in some form or fashion because you believe that there's some sort of meaning to your existence or being here. But anyways, let's just say that there was some sort of singular almighty being. So he would be perfect by nature. So if anything, we're almost kind of like we have the gift, or what is interesting about our reality is that we have the ability to fix imperfections. That's not something that God can do. So like, it's like a framework of our reality is like, we're kind of invested in the process of the guy running the simulation. Sure. However you want to see. I mean, we're transcending our reality. It's literally anybody's guess. I don't pretend to like, I have no fucking clue. I don't pretend to know. But that was the best theory to me, is that like, we all kind of know what's broken about us. And so if you kind of choose to work on it and fix it, like that's something that anyone outside of our reality probably can't do. You know what I mean? So like that might be very like the reason why we're here. That's very unique to the human struggle, the human experience, that kind of runs through the themes of a lot of religion. So that specific energy that you put in to overcoming whatever your personal bullshit is, the thing that you have to fix, maybe that thing lives on. The energy that you create in trying to fix yourself.
Yeah. How does it live on?
You're describing the unknown. who knows? You float around. Who the fuck knows? Who knows what's beyond our reality? It would be a pretty hard thing to deduce.
Yeah, but that's why we discuss it. Nobody knows, but we like to hear what people's beliefs are or what makes sense to you. And so if you live on, is it a consciousness living on? Is it as a ghost? Is it coming back into another body? Or is it just joining all of the other energy?
I think your consciousness would live on, but you would experience your consciousness in a different way. And so the way that our self-dialogue is still even constrained by our lived experiences, our ability to even focus, which is your ability to focus is somewhat in tandem with the knowledge you've acquired, the discipline you have, what you've eaten that day, the sleep. So there's a lot, we all kind of know when you're in a flow state and you're thinking at your best type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if that's what your consciousness experience would be at, or we also know when you've taken drugs and you're experiencing a thought pattern in a slightly different way. So even if you kind of think of your inner voice as one singular entity, which I don't even look at it that way, but if there's even a self-dialogue that you would say is one linear kind of thought process that you would identify as your consciousness. Mm-hmm. If you were to live beyond your physical body, even that conscious thought process would look a little bit differently. Even if you, maintain consciousness is basically just the awareness of your own existence and thought pattern. So yes, I guess if you lived on as an essence, there would be some sort of a awareness of yourself as a singular entity, unless you were combining with some other consciousness, which I can't imagine it would be the process. But if I die and just that's over, that's pretty good to me. Cause then I don't have to risk this whole hell and God being really upset part. But I'm not against the concept of living on. And I think the essence concept, which would transcend a singular consciousness, is at least an interesting idea.
What's the essence you're working on?
You mean, what do I work on?
Yeah.
Well, you guys can go check out this author. His name is Gearchiff. And he's got some really interesting ideas that also would reflect well with kind of even modern day psychology in terms of practicing mindfulness. But more than anything else, he kind of says that, a lot of men walk around in a sleepless state where we're making mechanical thinking. A lot of that is just because you downloaded behaviors from your parents, or you have previous behaviors, or whatever the hell else it is. You live with anxiety. We all make decisions that are not really of a higher consciousness. And so by observing your brain, getting to learn the characters that are in there, you can kind of start to fix yourself. I would say my personal struggle, we're getting real personal here, is I gotta deal with anxiety and depression. I seem to fabricate a reality that's a lot worse than it actually is. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of what I have to work on is not being so negative. There's a lot of opportunity. I think Shannon's gonna get smashed out again. That's what I think. I think she's living in this reality where she's never gonna get some big good gorilla dick again of some giant muscled out steroid guy whose heart might only last for another year or two. As long as he can take Blue Chew and get that penis up, even if there's no balls there, I think Shannon can get railed out. That's the positivity I'm trying to live with.
There you go.
Yeah. So the answer is, I don't know. You gotta observe your brain and just I have no fucking clue. We're talking about shit. I don't know. Who the fuck knows?
This is making you so uncomfortable. He's slowly unraveling.
It's really fun to watch. Is that the thing you're working on, Shannon? You're trying to get some fucking, love in your life? You got to fix that, whatever that is.
No, it's a similar thing. Anxiety and depression, more so anxiety, because I spent a lot of time not thinking that I had anxiety until speaking with a therapist and then realizing that a lot of the things that I feel throughout the day, it's just bottled up shit. And also my not sleeping and whatever, and a lot of negativity. I am constantly a state of everybody hates me and I am terrible. And I'm the worst. I'm so stupid.
So you should hold on to that. The other part you should work on.
Yeah, throw the rest away.
But there's so much. Yeah. I'm scared to ask you the question now, Maddie.
I mean, here's the thing, right?
He's trying to get another face. I thought we already... No, I'm kidding.
I've been looking at my fiance's toe, which looks like it has a crumb on it for the past 20 minutes.
You want to eat it?
What's on your feet? See, dry skin. All right, so she's got dead dry skin on the bottom of her feet, and I want to hit her, but I'm working towards my better me, and I'm not going to do it,
How's she going to learn to get better feet if you don't hit her?
Yeah, I'm going to cut your fucking feet off. That's what Robbie said to do.
right. On that note, on that note, we are going to wrap up. We'll do a quick round of plugs and we'll get out of here. Robbie, what would you like to plug?
Smoke Out Bug Out coming out in 1 week up in Boston, 9/11. Hit me up. Robsnewsroom@gmail.com. I'll get you the ticket link or Twitter, wherever. Just you can send me some messages. Other than that, Robbie the Fire on all platforms. I got all sorts of clips, highlights, podcasts. I don't know. You know it. I've probably done it.
Maddie.
You can follow me on some things at Jester Skulls or on Twitter. Fucking Daddy Maddie JS, because I've now had two handles stolen from me by that commie cunt, Jack Dorsey. Buy guns. Palmetto State Armory. There's a plug for you.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Wherever you listen to the show, you can also watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at GasDigitalNetwork.com/live. That's absolutely for free. The best way to support the show, though, is to go to GasDigitalNetwork.com, use promo code TTI. You'll get a 1 week free trial, which gives you access to every single show on the network, every single show we've ever done. You get the episode sooner and you get to hang out in the live chat. Lots of perks, and it's absolutely for free for 1 week, so you can test it out. If you listen on iTunes or YouTube, make sure to rate, review, and of course tell a friend. That's all very important to the show. Go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. And if you have your own stories that you'd like to share for bad things, scary things, or bad dates, you can send yourself doing a video of telling the story. Or stop what you're doing, Maddie. I didn't say anything.
I'm just listening.
You can send a video of yourself telling the story, or you can write down your story and I'll read it on the show. And you can send that into thethingispodcast@gmail.com. I think that's it. Did I get everything? Yes.
I think so.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye, guys.